world's knowing.
All right, man. Welcome to Crow 777 Radio. This is hour one of episode 633. Jason Lingren is with me and Jet Blake returns. You may remember that Jet Blake is a pseudonym for Weston Warren. He was using that for obvious reasons when he was getting going online in the public eye. Anyhow, welcome, Jason.
And a warm Louisiana good morning.
All righty. Welcome back, Weston. Good to have you back.
Yeah, it's great to be back.
So we're going to touch on field theory, which I think a lot of people have an interest in these days. So many of the kind of mainstreamy things that we got force-fed in the early 1900s are starting to come under scrutiny, many of them being thrown by the wayside. Where would be a good point for you to pick up if we're going to address field theory?
Field theory, it's a different way of looking how the universe operates. Another word would be physics, or how reality forms, how reality functions, or how reality develops. So field theory was before, it was probably the more original theory. It has fringes of esoteric because it deals with observation and consciousness more so than the newer theory, which was promoted globally and has been taught for over 130 years or more, and that's atomic theory, where you have the advent of atoms and then the components of an atom, and then you have molecules or molecular structure, and you have, in chemistry, for example, the periodical table.
So is field theory devoid of the kind of particle zoo that has been growing and growing? The way I perceive it is most of the physics start to become theoretical these days. And it seems to me they invent new particles to balance equations. So much of it is theoretical. When we're talking about field theory, do we have all these little particles that they keep inventing, or does it go a different way?
No, it's completely different as far as how do you look at life as we know it, reality, and our existence. So in atomic theory that we've all been trained, your elementary, junior, high school, colleges, the basic concept is the primary atom, hydrogen, is the building block of matter. Matter would be anything of solid origin or gases, something that you can measure, feel. Matter comprised of your office desk, the components of your automobile, your home, gases in the atmosphere that we breathe, that it's derived from chemical formulations of molecules comprised of atoms, and the first building block being hydrogen. That's why it's number one on the periodical chart. And it's a combination of these atoms, and then with modern technology, breaking apart atoms to see if what are the subcomponents of atoms. And when you have a hadron collider, which is what they're saying, projects like CERN in Europe, and there's other colliders. If you can break apart atoms, can you see subcomponents? How far down can you go? Can you reach what's called maybe a God particle, the smallest particle from which everything is structured and builds upon? So that's atomic theory, and that's what's been taught. And technologies are based on that theory. So you have engineers, chemists, physicists that have been classically trained in atomic theory, and that's their mindset, and that's how they go about in experimentation and inventions with that mindset. Field theory comes from a completely different perspective. And what I'll do is I'll pause here and there to let you and Jason or anyone else ask questions or.
Well, I'd like to make a point out of the gate here. The periodic table, atomic theory, the state of physics with just everything being theory, you know, never anything gets worked out. Yep, this is real. This is a law. My point being, it almost seems like all these physical sciences that came to be in the early 1900s, at least they started getting written into textbooks, they're limiting. Like, we know chemistry works, right? They'll show a graph. Well, you take this particle and that particle, you mix them together. Oh, look, we've got chlorine. So we know it works, but I've always thought that these things that we're taught are limiting. And that's why I take interest in things like field theory. Do you agree with that statement?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Like a ceiling has purposely been placed where, yeah, you can make all these things using chemistry or whatever, but there's a limit and you're not going any further.
Yes, I would tend to agree with that. Mm-hmm. With atomic theory, obviously, within that theory, you can invent and you can engineer and create, because we have automobiles and aircraft. We have structural bridges, skyscrapers. We have computers, cell phones, hearing aids, walkie-talkies, radio, television transmission, internet. So from that aspect, the understanding of atomic theory does function to an extent, and it supports the current reality and the technologies that we have today. There's no arguing that. All I'm saying, and you touched on that, I'm glad you brought that up, is that my gut feeling, and I was classically trained like everyone else in atomic theory with the science degrees that I have, but I do think it does have its limits by design, or like you said, a cap, a dome, or a ceiling. So you can create and have technology up to a point, and you'll never break through that dome or that glass ceiling. And to go further in this illustration, or to break through that dome or glass ceiling, you would have to transition to a completely different understanding of the universe and how life works, and get into the realm of field theory. Then sky's the limit as far as technologies and realities that can be created. And field theory is alive and well. It's just off books. It's in, I don't know, whatever term you want to use, secret, off books, non-disclosed, black budget projects. That's all field theory based. It's not atomic theory.
How does quantum theory fit in?
Well, I'll probably get booed and hissed, but it's all I can say. It's just me. And in my opinion, I always tease everyone, my opinion, and $4 will get you a cup of coffee. So I'm really a nobody. So I want to remain humble, but just personally, in my science endeavors and my understanding, I'm not jumping head over heels under quantum mechanics and quantum theory. I think it's interesting. I think it's an extension of atomic theory, but it's inferior to the understanding that I've developed and other scientists of field theory.
But isn't this just another tool for limiting?
Yeah.
Like in the medical world, oh, my foot's hurt. Well, I'm a medical doctor. I'm going to have to send you to the podiatrist. You know, everything is sectioned off. Isn't the foot part of the body? Isn't the body a whole? Shouldn't we? No, you got to go to the foot doctor. Well, to me, we have these rules in physics for big things, but wait a minute. These are quantum. These are really small, different set of rules. And that's bothersome, isn't it?
Well, yeah, my understanding, when you have quantum theory, quantum mechanics, quantum entanglement, these are exciting new fads, new understandings, extensions of atomic theory. But if you pursue those sciences and that understanding, you'll still end up hitting that dome or glass ceiling eventually. They're just new and exciting right now. Hear about quantum computing and the quants and IBM and other manufacturers working on these advanced supercomputers and how that's connected with AI and the technocracy that they're pushing. But from my perspective, it's interesting, but it's distractions. I still focus on field theory, and I will till I kick the bucket, because to me, that's more accurate as to how reality works. The power structure will always make sure field theory stays an obscure, minority, laughable conspiracy theory topic by design. So if you continue to pursue that in this world, you'll never get anywhere. You'll be mocked. You'll have disdain. You won't be in the circles of the scientific community. You won't be published. You won't receive grant money. You know, the old expression, redheaded stepchild type stereotype. Well, that's fine, because usually whatever is popular is not based on truth, and whatever is truthful is not popular. And that always seems to be the case. So I'll stick on the non-popular side, because I think it's more accurate, more truthful field theory.
So as far as historically speaking, when was field theory around, and then when was it pushed off to the side for atomic theory, and do you know why?
Well, this is interesting, and I hope you and your audience can follow, because this is a tough subject, and it's a very good question that you're asking. I don't know, in an hour plus interview or subsequent interviews, this is a topic that can't be answered in 60 minutes or a three-part series of 3 one-hour shows. I've been studying this now for 25 years, and I'm just scratching the surface. So it's ongoing. But trying to be humble, my understanding, and also I'm being protective because other people listen to this interview. I can't help who listens to this interview, but there's some that might be listening to this interview because they're kind of spying and observing what other scientists are doing, and I don't want to draw a huge target on my back. But field theory has been around since the dawn of man, and field theory is closely coupled to spirituality, not religion. A lot of people get that confused. When you have religion, organized religion, that's a different topic, and that's an entity as far as what organized religion, what its fundamental purposes are, and its role. But spirituality and field theory go hand in hand. So field theory has been around since the dawn of man. Atomic theory is fairly recent, say really picked up speed the last 500 years, and it really started to accelerate in the early 1900s, atomic theory.
Well, that pushes us away from, I think if you look up field theory, it'll be called psychological. Its relationship will be to the whole, to the interaction to the whole. When we go over to atomic theory, we've been materialized. Now we're going for hypermaterialism. And isn't it interesting that, I don't know, 10, 20 years ago, so many of the physicists, you know, there are all these things being written. Oh, they're starting to get spiritual. They're starting to have spiritual ideas. And it's ironic that now basically all we hear about is theory this, theory that. But I mean, do you agree with that? It's a psychological idea that looks at the whole and the interaction into the whole as opposed to breaking it down into material components.
Yes. Again, this is my observations. And the purpose of this interview is just with you and your listening audience. I guess for an hour or the second hour, you're listening to a scientist, but my personal journey and how I observe life and reality and how I've learned and how I've changed. Well, you can just accept it as entertainment or a very interesting perspective. I'm not asking anyone to adopt my understanding, and I'm not starting a new cult requesting followers or a compound community where I'm soliciting membership. But with that being said, I do have a very strong science background, and I'm not an idiot. So I have, in the current material world, I have a lot of patents, international patents. I have companies and technology, like we talked before, that work very well and people enjoy and are very effective. But what I noticed is the push for atomic theory in the material world with the atomic structure, the periodical chart and chemistry is it's a way of explaining existence, but it's very mechanical and it's designed to eliminate a God or a divine or a source. And I think that's the primary reason why atomic theory was developed and is pushed today to take mankind, however you want to define mankind, and get them separated from a higher intelligence, from a divine, a source, and that science theory fits that mold. And I think that was the primary reason why its invention and adoption. Where field theory absolutely, conclusively shows that there is a source or a divine that's in existence, and everything stems from that realm, that entity, to use that term.
Now, we just did some episodes on the robber barons, and several of them put their large sums of money to use in shaping science and education and several different fields. Would you say that that was part of what happened with field theory versus atomic theory, is that these institutions that these men set up were pushing out certain things and bringing in other things?
Oh, yeah, that's how it works. So in the early 1900s, when you mentioned the robber barons, this isn't 100% accurate, so hopefully there won't be a lot of haters and trolls on comments on your show. And I'm admitting this, I might be a little bit off, but basically we have a 450-year mercantile economic system starting in Europe with your naval merchant ships and the development of the navies to guard the shipping lanes. And then you had trade among the Americas and then India and China. As that model developed, you had the banking models, the City of London, the Vatican City Bank, which has been around for about 2,000 years. So with that mercantile economic global dominant structure of trade, you had these robber barons or these very wealthy businessmen slash bankers. And there's some popular names, if you look through history, these very wealthy families. They absolutely use their power and influence to push atomic theory and sponsor atomic theory and infiltrate the universities and government officials to make that the primary teaching and understanding. And they pushed out field theory, which has always existed. But one of the reasons also for that is, this is my understanding, it might sound a little harsh, but you can smooth it out a little bit. I think when you get to that, let's say I'm not, but let's say you're one of these very old families, very wealthy families. Some of these families are hundreds and hundreds of years old. Maybe they go back to even ancient empires, Egypt and Babylon and so forth. When you have that kind of influence and power, you don't want to give it up. And that power is contained in these families as the centuries roll by. After a while, it's very difficult for dynasties like that and bloodlines to eventually get godlike and want godlike power or godlike worship. So you get to a point where you'd have to push out a scientific theory that supports the true divine and source and implement a scientific theory and a fundamental understanding taught globally that pushes God or the divine out and sets up what? Corporations, banks, institutions, and I think that was part of the reason. It's more of a control mechanism and also a godlike complex, and field theory was in the way. Push that out, promote atomic theory, and you become godlike in this current reality.
Yeah, I think that's well said. I think your initial statement where you're removing any idea of the divine points out that materialism is antithetical to spiritual concerns. So hypermaterialism, which is kind of where we exist now, is far from spiritual ideas, a creator or any spiritual idea. And I think you're hitting it on the head. And you have these power centers that do want to become godlike. I mean, look what we're experiencing now. There's an open run for world domination. Places that think they're so powerful, they put on their bullet points, we're going to do depopulation now. And I agree with you, to try to get that kind of a following, you really do have to sever as much as you can spiritual concerns of the masses that might be reaching, thinking, or working towards the idea of a creator.
Right. So what I'll do at this point, the audience is still, I'm trying to put my place in the general audience of your show going, okay, I follow this discussion so far, but Weston, can you get to the point, or you still haven't defined what the heck is this field theory? We understand atomic theory. This is probably a point in a conversation, so I don't frustrate your audience. Can I go maybe on a 6 to 10 minute spiel?
It's all you.
Okay, and then interrupt me with questions if I have lost you.
Weston, before you do that, is there anything that would tie into the concept of ether that was around in the 19th century that was then discarded with the coming in theories of the 20th century, if that ties into what you want to explain?
Yep, that's going to be in the next 6, 8, 10 minutes.
Perfect.
Okay, so at first, the only spiritual aspect, because I don't want people to tune off, I will quote an ancient scripture just as a reference. I'm not going to turn into a TV evangelizer or anything like that at all. So I don't lose the audience. And if you're anti-scripture, just give me a 15-second break, and then we'll get right back into the science. Isaiah 40:26, the prophet Isaiah had mentioned that the divine or source is dynamic energy. And the Hebrew context of that is it's an energy, the God of the Bible, the ancient text, the scriptures, you have the Hebrew, Aramaic, Greek text. Some people say Old New Testament. This entity that has a Hebrew and English and other the translations of this name of this entity, this God, is mentioned as dynamic energy. So the Hebrew reference is this is an energy that's always existed. It never had a beginning, never had an end. It's an energy that cannot be destroyed. It's not like you can sneak up to it and destroy it or unplug it or turn it off. It's always been existence. It's a dynamic energy that has full consciousness and awareness. it has all knowledge, which ties into the etheric field. And Jason, if I later, can you remind me of this point? I'll need help to bring me back to what I mean by this. So this dynamic energy has all knowledge, all wisdom, has awareness. It's a personality, has emotion. And from this dynamic energy, all life, all realities, all dimensions come from this dynamic energy. So the ancient texts show that no matter what dimension you live in, what life form you are, in our case, human, plant, animal, or multidimensional entities, spirit creatures, some religious texts talk about angels or fallen angels, demons, or and beyond, alien type life form, any dimensional life form, everything has no choice and is in existence because it's attached to this dynamic energy that powers all reality. So in field theory, what this means is this dynamic energy, this divine source, creator, God, put in whatever title that correlates with your spiritual understanding, it's the emitter of energy. And energy is in the form of electromagnetic frequencies. Electromagnetic frequencies is energy. But there's different types of energy based on the intensity of that energy or its wavelength. And what happens is the electromagnetic frequency interacts with the etheric field. Our understanding, and this could be wrong, the etheric field is also connected to this divine or this dynamic energy. And it's actually it's real. It cannot be defined from a human perspective, but a very crude, of course, it's not 100% accurate, but I just do this as an illustration for the human mind to give a comparison. The etheric field is more of a liquid than anything. If I were to define it in human terms, it's like a jello. It's liquid, it's flexible. And what it does, it's energized. It's an energized matte material, and it's connected to this dynamic energy. And when electromagnetic frequencies, in whatever range that they come in, the intensity of the electromagnetic energy that ultimately stems from this divine mentioned in Isaiah 40, chapter 40, verse 26, then the etheric field responds. It reacts, it energizes, it lights up. So what happens is electromagnetic energy when it's emanating from this source, Isaiah 40, 26 source, the etheric field is designed to fold electromagnetic energy. So if you picture a room full of mirrors, high-polished, strategically placed mirrors in a lab, and the scientists create a very powerful laser, and they shoot the laser at the first mirror, and the laser ricochets off a series of mirrors with their geometry and their dimensional placement, that laser will bounce and bounce and bounce off these mirrors, and it will fold onto itself. The light laser, the electromagnetic frequency, will fold and fold and fold onto itself because it's bouncing off these highly technical mirrors that in the center, after a series of bouncing off these mirrors, what would appear in the middle of this lab would be a hydrogen atom. So what field theory is, and what atomic theory is showing, what hydrogen, all hydrogen atom, the building block of atomic theory, hydrogen is folded light. It's hard light. That's all it is. Everything is light. It's just a matter of how electromagnetic energy folds upon itself. It'll manifest itself in our reality as an atom, a hydrogen atom, or as matter. But matter, the first building block components, what we call matter in atomic theory, is hard light that stems from this entity that exists in counter space. This is what we've found out and we've been discovering. I'm kind of the young scientist in the group. Others have died off. But now that I understand this, after 25 years, it makes complete sense how life works, that we live in a holographic universe. Everything is based on light and how light manifolds. There's manifolds in the etheric field in this realm. When light folds, it creates reality. It creates a maple tree. It creates a rabbit, a little kitten. It creates us. It creates the gases that cause wind, what we would call oxygen and nitrogen and argon gas, and the list goes on. These are all manifestations of how electromagnetic energy has folded in the etheric field and its reaction. And part of electromagnetic frequency is thought or consciousness. So when you and I have thought, we create an electromagnetic frequency. That electromagnetic frequency called thought interacts with the etheric field. It's impossible to have any electromagnetic emission bypass the etheric field. Well, this God or source or entity is the etheric field. It's an extension of this entity. So this entity knows every thought, every action, every intent. It's impossible to bypass this entity. It's aware of everything at all times in real time, past, present, and future. This has got to sound crazy to the people listening.
I'm with you. I was stunned when you began to describe the mirrors. Do you have to have a certain geometry or a certain number of mirrors?
Yes.
If I understood you, you're shooting a high-powered laser, which is going to reflect off one mirror to another. And I'm guessing they're set so there's a center point. But at some point of, I guess it's like almost a circular movement, the light cycling around, reflect, 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 hydrogen is created at the center of that, a hydrogen atom?
Right. What we call a hydrogen atom, the building block, the fundamental building block of our material world, our universe, is the first manifestation of hard light. It's the folding of this electromagnetic energy that we, from our human perspective, living in a fourth dimensional realm, it appears as matter.
So what it almost sounds like is atomic theory is just a section for describing physical matter, but field theory is encompassing all of it.
That's right. Right. And field theory, when you reverse engineer reality, human consciousness, the atomic hydrogen atom, when you reverse engineer and go back to, it takes a while and there's the epiphany. And there's a lot of scientists in the late 1800s, 1900s who started to understand this, and the technologies were beyond this reality. And the Robin Barons, these bankers and these corporate, shut it down because they wanted to maintain power and prominence and a godlike control over humanity. And if they didn't shut down the progress of field theory in the late 1800s, early 1900s, they would have lost control of humanity and the agenda that they have and desire.
Which means they have an understanding of that too, right? It means they understand what they're preventing others from understanding.
Correct. So what they've done is, that's why field theory went underground by the mid to late 1920s. The research continued, but it went off books. So that research has continued, and it gets very complicated because when you're dealing with messenger RNA, which was a DARPA project, the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, that's the scientific division of the Pentagon. When you get a messenger RNA and Intel and these other Silicon Valley executives, their science is so advanced, they're in the electromagnetic arena and the etheric field. Because now they're setting up infrastructure where they want to dominate consciousness even after death. So they're way past atomic theory. They're fully in field theory, and they want to start dominating the field theory realm. That's a whole nother months of discussions of interviews that would melt your mind, because the power structure is way past controlling the earth and the mineral and resources and the political structure of earth. That's old school stuff. They're now into dominating human consciousness and what happens after death. And they're wanting to control real estate and ownership of aspects of the etheric field that belongs to this divine. It's very advanced what's going on. You can't be on talk shows and explain this. There's no way. So what happens is, we're definitely in a spiritual warfare, and there's some very, very high level individuals. I'm a scientist in this realm, but if there's a spiritual warfare, there's absolutely a battle going on. And the human population has no idea. They're looking at the Stanley Cup or what interest rates are doing and what the federal rates, are they going to raise or lower interest rates, or what kind of mortgage can I get? Lamborghini, how much horsepower is the Ferrari Lamborghini? They have no clue. Absolutely no clue. The high levels, what's going on. And now the military and the budgets are setting up infrastructure to battle in the etheric field of ownership of consciousness. So they're fully in field theory. It's not about tanks and submarines and ballistic missiles and the Iron Dome and the Middle East. That's
stagecraft.
Second, third grade stuff. That's little kids at second, third grade recess running around with chalk and kicking the ball until the teachers say it's time to go back into the classroom. They're way, way, and the humanity has no idea that's where they're at.
So I'm assuming this is where the black budget money gets poured into and all that kind of thing. What would the technology look like if you were focusing on field theory as opposed to atomic theory?
You mean their technology?
Yes.
Well, what it is the, spiritually speaking, at birth, you might be aware, your audience might be aware, that when the sperm and the egg meet in the beginning of the fertilization, they've actually cameraed that there's a spark. There's an electromagnetic pulse or a spark. It's been filmed. Are you aware of that?
Divine spark of life, we've referred to it here.
Okay. Right. Do you know what that is?
A spark, light? I mean, no. Physically, no. I couldn't describe it.
All right. Here's what's happening physically. What happens is the spark is actually comes from counter space. You can actually get the counter space. We know physically, or the physics design, there's no technology to do it, but we know theoretically and mathematically where counter space is, how to get the event horizon, how to get there. But that spark is the energy from counter space. And that's a scientific way of saying the ancient texts talk about heaven or the realm where God dwells or that arena. That's energy from counter space. There's a window that opens, and that energy, when the sperm and the egg meet, starts the cell division. But technically what's happening, and this is mind-blowing, is that's the point where a registration takes place. So when that sperm and egg meet, there's a registration of that DNA and that spark. What that means is a serial or VIN number was recorded in counter space. So it's no different than when Ford, GM, Volkswagen, Porsche, Nissan, Toyota, whoever, makes an automobile, the factory puts a specific VIN number on that vehicle. They put it on the frame, the engine, the dashboard, or in the door jamb. And that car is registered, and it has a VIN number that's different than any other car on that assembly line. And that VIN number is traced through the life of the car. That's how you prove ownership. You can buy, sell it. If it gets damaged, repaired, it's all traced on that unique VIN number. Well, humans have a VIN number, a registration number, and ownership is in counter space. That spark is a registry. It's the energy signature, and it's the energy signature that starts the cell division. And then 9 months later, Junior pops out, right? Congratulations, you have a child into the family. But the ownership and registration took place at conception in counter space. The military industrial complex and the power structure today want to claim ownership, legal ownership, from counter space. And that's where the black budgets and the technology is involved in the human DNA. It's very complex, the angle that they're approaching.
It's incredible to think about. And when you consider so many of the worldwide systems that we've covered here, it's ironic that you would use the VIN number as the example, because the birth certificate is a bit like a car registration. And it's not hard to imagine what you're saying, because we have tracked the uppercase capital name in the capitalism system run by the capital in Rome. And so you can see the intent right there and then of trying to take control of the livelihood right there.
Okay, so here's what happened. And I'll try to sum this up because you'll have part two. But this is very complex. It would take months and months. And I used to have a show, a Monday morning show, and I did this for several years. Because it takes years to explain this to the world population, what's really going on. The oldest corporation on earth is the Roman Catholic Church, 323 CE, established. Under this very old model, and then you had the Vatican Bank and the Lord's Templar, all, if you look through history, and they were extremely wealthy, and then they were, you know, Friday the 13th, the Pope had them murdered, and then they ran to France and Portugal and all that stuff, right? There's rabbit holes, very entertaining. You could spend a lifetime just pursuing that. But in that corporate structure, the Vatican claims ownership of all human souls, and they have a registry. And then there's charters that nation states apply for, but the Roman Catholic Church has, I'm not picking on that per se. This is just, if you do a deep dive, this is true. I'm not making this up. They have ownership. Well, nation states that contract or subdivide with the Vatican and their banking system, it's in operation to this day. It's very complex. The nation states, when you're born in their bordered territory, they give you a birth certificate and the registration has a number. And so like the United States, if you're born in the United States, your birth certificate has a number. The United States government borrows and collateralizes you. You're a human resource. And that's what your birth certificate number. And you probably had guests and you should.
We've your audience covered it extensively.
Yeah, so you should already know this. Okay, so I won't bore you with this.
Well, for anyone who's in doubt, in the book Shogun, and probably in the movie, there is a scene where the Portuguese pilot, is talking to the Shogun of Japan. And he says, there's this guy named the Pope, and he's claimed ownership of everyone. But here's the rub, Shogun. He owns you too, because there's a canonical bull. That bull is still in force today. You could look into Shogun to see it. That says, not only do we own everyone we haven't discovered yet. So there's one reference to what you're laying down.
Yeah, so that's how the structure is. Now, what they've done is that model that's over 2,000 years old, roughly close to 2,000 years old, that model is, and I'm just being funny here for an illustration, that model is like a 72 Dodge Dart with drum brakes, AM radio, metal dashboard. Okay, it's obsolete. I mean, when's the last time you've seen a 72 Dodge Dart on the road? Maybe if it's restored in a car show, that's about it. But it's old technology. So the model that the Roman Catholic Church and the corporate structure of nation states and the banking cartel and Wall Street, where humans are collateralized through birth certificates and registration and passports and all that crap, right? That's a 72 Dodge Dart. It's antiquated. That whole system is shifting, and it's already in place as we speak. It's all shifting to the blockchain through tokenization. You've heard of Bitcoin and Ethereum. That's early stages. What they're doing is they are tokenizing. It's already in place right now. They're tokenizing every human being's DNA. And instead of a birth certificate with the number on your birth certificate in Spain or Brazil, Japan, Russia, China, United States, Mexico, wherever you're born, every human being living now, and it is going to be born, your DNA is registered on the blockchain. And the banking institution and the Vatican, everything, will control the human DNA, and they're claiming ownership of consciousness on the blockchain that's going to be monitored by multiple AI computating systems. There's 7 AIs to 8 AIs being developed. And that's why you have like Project Stargate that Trump had mentioned, which is interesting because remember, they had a $500 billion approval budget, $500 billion. Well, when Trump talks about Greenland and Alberta, Canada, want to be part of the United States, that's because these are strategic areas to have large computer bank servers because of the cool temperatures. And you're going to need tremendous amount of energy to run these AIs, and they need to be super cooled. So these regions are very valuable to have these large computer banks in operation. Why is that? Because AIs will be running the global economy and also be running humans, human data, ownership of human DNA and human consciousness. So you get into the Internet of Things, IoT, Internet of Things and Internet of Body. There's patented technologies that have already been issued globally by these corporations. And the infrastructure is already in place and in operation, and people don't know it. So what happens is, it gets very scary when you're dealing with the messenger RNA, and that's why DARPA, this is a military operation, because the military and organized religious control structure have combined, because they've created a technology where they're claiming ownership of human DNA and of human consciousness, as opposed to it being registered in counter space or in heaven. And they have the infrastructure already in place. So when someone gets a messenger RNA, because they have these vaccines, right? And it's in the flu shot. And then the University of California, Riverside, they have grafted messenger RNA in food and it's successful. And the crops in by the end of 2026, 2027, 2028, messenger RNA will be grafted in lettuce and carrots and celery in these commercial agricultural farms. If you have this messenger RNA in you, what that does is through reverse transcript, the RNA becomes DNA. It's permanent. And what it's doing is it's changing your DNA with a corporate marker. It's an identifier that AI will recognize, and it's on the blockchain. So these corporations, these pharmaceutical companies in the military industrial complex will literally own your DNA, and their DNA is inserted in your DNA. That's their marker or VIN number, and they're staking claim of your consciousness, which is in effect after death, because they're staking claim in the etheric field. And their legalese, I know this has got, I apologize, this has to be blowing your mind, or you guys absolutely think I'm bat crazy.
Not in the slightest.
No, we've covered things right up to the edge of this, but they can't patent a plant because God or whatever made that plant. So now they're doing things to try to get around that, but it directly applies to what you're saying. So I think what you just said is they're modifying the DNA in some way so they can claim that patent as the creator.
Correct. So they're modifying the DNA, but the legal claim that they're using, this gets into the spiritual realm. This is very interesting how they're doing that. Free will was involved because they're saying, look, if people got messenger RNA and they volunteered to do this, they used their free will to take a technology that edited their DNA. There was no gun held to their head. We didn't strap them down in a gurney and inject them with this technology.
There it is.
So with free will involved, they willingly altered their DNA. And someone can say, wait a minute. I was going to lose my job. Or yep. I had a tickets on a cruise line and I wanted to travel. But in a spiritual realm, you could say, well, was that vacation really that necessary? You mean if you lost your job, there's not another job you could have found? Or are you saying that you just didn't want the inconvenience of losing a job or having to cancel that vacation because you kept your original DNA? Let's get to the truth of this. You still used your free will and got injected. Now you were gene edited, and the corporations in the military that own these patents, they now have their identifier in your DNA, you nitwit. They're staking claim of ownership of you, and it's on the blockchain now. Are you aware of that? No. And you can't get rid of it. There's no shot you can take to reverse that DNA editing. It's permanent. You screwed yourself.
We've got to put a cut point. I've got to wrap up hour one. We're going to have to roll this into hour two. Jason, anything you want to say?
When we get into hour two, do you think you could address how folded light has to do with the water idea of the angles being changed from 104.5 to 108?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I can talk about that.
We're going to put a thumbtack in that. Weston, can you quickly tell people where they can find you and your work if you so desire?
Yes, the business website, which we talked about, westonscientificllc.com. There's a contact form there, but it's westonscientific@gmail.com. I know a lot of people don't like Gmail, but it's easy and people can remember westonscientific@gmail.com. And then on the subject matter, you could ask a question or put in there if it was related to the Crow Show. And that'll help catch my attention that this particular email was based on one of these shows. And then as I have time, I can respond.
All right. I'm going to wrap up hour one here. First, I want to mention the episodes that we touched on. Here they are. City-State episode 118, Central Banking 119, episode 300 and 300.2 are Vatican History, titled Madigan at the Vatican. Don't forget the Sui Generis episodes. There's a playlist for that. This is the man who actually tracked the birth certificate from where it starts to wherever it goes. KL mentioned the Myriad case, which is owning DNA. That was episode 374.5, and that gets into patentable GMO people. What I'm going to mention here is maybe we'll touch too on Walter Russell in the second hour. When you start to recognize that what Weston Warren has been saying, that all matter is just like solid light. It is. When you see how Walter Russell, which is one of the best sources I've ever seen because of the visuals that he created while he was in a state of enlightenment for something around a month, everything vibrates. And we've covered this a lot, but here's the thing that struck me years ago. I was reading that human beings are creators. We're creator beings. And when we don't create, we begin to fall apart. We have mental issues. We're unhappy. And it went on to point out that the entirety of the system put in place by the robber barons, the Vatican, and others stifles that creativity. How many people do you know that get up to the alarm clock every morning, go to a job they hate, come home, have to pick up the kids, get the food from the grocery store, get their bills paid, lay their head down so they can do the whole thing again, never having created anything for long stretches of time? The implication being that this was an intentional system to separate creator beings with a spiritual aptitude from the very processes that are endemic to what it means to be a spiritual human being. But with that, I'm going to wrap up hour one of episode 633 with Jason Lindgren and Jet Blake, Weston Warren. Hour one is free to everybody at crow777radio.com. That is crow777radio.com. Members know to log in for the full episode and they get access to all the comments and forums. They can create top-level topics. They can stream the two-hour film called Shoot the Moon anytime they like. And that now has 10 awards in the world, covers all the lunar waves, an endless litany of what I can call UFOs, the first discovery of the second sun, and much more. It's a very good film that Jason put together, having talked me into sitting in front of a camera for 2 hours. Also available on the site, members have exclusive access to my current solar telescope work, and digital stills, which people requested, are available on the website. I hope to see everyone logged in as a member for hour two. With that, we're going to take a very short break and come back and pick up where we left off. With that, I would like to wish you all a happy, healthy, and higher-minded new era. There it is, man. Cheers.
belief is the enemy of knowing.